And the word of the Lord says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night and in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them in the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for the great and glorious God, seated on your throne, we come before you with humble hearts and open hands, joining the voices of the great multitude that no one can number from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Lord, as we gather in this place today, we thank you for the privilege of opening your holy word. Holy Spirit, come and breathe life into these verses. Open our eyes to see the Lamb who was slain, and open our hearts to the comfort of your promises, that those who have washed their robes in blood will never hunger or thirst again, that you will shelter us with your presence, and that the Lamb himself will be our shepherd, leading us to springs of living water. The only one worthy of all praise, prepare the hearts of your people to receive the truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Salvation does not belong to you. You are a beneficiary of salvation, but it does not belong to you. Christ's death and resurrection should not stop with you. In our culture, the church culture that has grown over the last 30 years, there's been this very me-centered gospel. This understanding that everything that happens in the Bible is all about you as an individual. This thought of my Jesus as if he belongs to you. And then many of us live our lives as if we can pick and choose what we will follow from the Word of God, because some of those things we just don't think apply to us, or we don't want them to apply to us. We have created a gospel in our own image that we are in control of. And even that, we won't share with others. Even this gospel we create on our own, we won't share. And certainly not the true gospel. But that is not what God wants. As we've walked through the gospel of Matthew, we have seen this beautiful good news that the Son of God, fulfillment of all these prophecies of the Messiah, that he has come to earth, he has lived this perfect life, he has preached and preached about his kingdom, he has given us instructions for what it means to be followers of him. Then he has gone to a cross and he has died. He has had the wrath of God for sin poured out on him. He has been put in a borrowed tomb, a rich man's tomb. He rose on the third day. The angels declared it. The women saw it. His disciples have seen it. And somehow that gets turned into, oh, that's just for me. That only impacts my life. As long as my eternity's good, I don't really care what happens to anybody else. We'll see over the next two Sundays his enemies at work to undercut this good news, and then we will see Jesus give a commission to his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. They will give up their lives. Those that were so weak and cowardly, they will willingly die to make sure this message goes forth. And what I wanted us to see in Revelation 7:9 is that it will. This is guaranteed. Whether you do it or not, God is going to save his people because salvation belongs to him. And so I want you to understand that you're called to be a part of this. You are called specifically to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. You are called to make disciples of all nations. You are called to be a part of that. If you belong to Jesus, this is your mission. It is his mission to seek and save that which is lost. It is your mission. And it will happen. Read Revelation 7:9 there. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. This is what's going to be. John, who had given up so much of his life to make this message known, is now exiled to the island of Patmos. He's in a cave, and he has this vision that God sends to him. He's in the worst way possible, cut off from his church, cut off from all the people that he loves so much, and he has this vision, and this vision is a pulling back the curtain of what will be. It is absolute that this is what will happen. And what does he see? He looks, and he sees an answer to the question that Revelation chapter 6 ended with, which asks, who will stand? And he looks and he sees the answer. It will be a multitude that no one can number, an uncountable number. That's how many people he looks and sees. And who are these people? They are the Gentile nations, the ethnos there. The nations, the tribes, that is all the clan membership that people have, all these tribes, all these individual sects of people. It's the people, anybody with shared identities. It's all the tongues, everybody with like language. It's looking across the whole categories of humans and saying, this multitude exists of all of those people. Not just Harmony Baptist Church, not just America, but across the whole globe, there are people that belong to Jesus. So many that they are uncountable. And what a beautiful truth that this is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God had made to Abraham so long ago. That those that will be blessed by you are more numerous than the stars in the sky. Uncountable number. And it is a mission accomplished. John looks and he sees all these people. And see, the divides are still there. What we would call divides are still there. It's every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. So all those divides are there. But you know what it is? When they're standing before the throne, it is beautiful that God can reach into all these pockets of humanity and say, these are mine. It's how we ought to approach our lives as we walk through this, that we embrace this call to make disciples of all people in all places, that we don't look on the outside of a person, but we see that they are made in the image of God, that they have a soul and they have an eternity, and we are the ones that are supposed to be the mouthpieces of God here and now to bring them to know that there is a God in heaven that loves them and sent his son to die for them. This is the mission. The gospel cannot stop with you or with Harmony or with America. We're just part of a much bigger mission. And what is the mission? That we want all these people to come and we want them to be saved, yes. But primarily, what is the mission? That God would be worshiped. Because that's what all this multitude's doing. They're gathered before the throne and before the Lamb. And He deserves the worship of this diverse group. God is the center. The throne is there. The Lamb is there. They are standing before it and they are washed in His blood. Their robes are made white by the blood of the Lamb. They have been purified by the blood of Jesus. And so they have these white robes on, this priestly adornment, as there is work for them to do. Their work in this moment is worship. They're in white and it's purity, and they're waving palm branches. This goes back to the Feast of Tabernacles from Leviticus 23. It goes back to the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem as they are waving this. This is a sign of victory, a sign of joy. They are before the Lord, and what are they singing together? Well, they say together, salvation belongs to our God and the Lamb. They are praising God. All these multitudes, so many, it must be deafening in heaven to hear these millions upon millions, maybe billions upon billions, crying out that this is true. And I know it's real easy to get cynical in the here and now as you look and you say, oh, the church in America is declining, and you know, how can this mission go forth? This multitude says God's got many, many people that He is going to save. And He might not do it here, but He's going to do it somewhere, because those people are going to be standing there. You are called to make disciples of all people in all places so that they worship God, so that He gets His due from those people. Not just so they have eternity, but so that God is lifted up because He is worthy. If you pray, hallowed be thy name, then you should be sharing the gospel so hallowed will be His name among the people. And His glory will go forth. So many of you have gifts, you have these good things, you do these good works, and all of that is done not so people will give you an attaboy, not so you get a pat on the back, but those things are given to you so that God will be glorified, right? Let your good works shine, right? Why? So that others might see Him and give glory to our Father in heaven. That is the purpose. That is why you are still here. If He didn't want to use you this way, if you weren't here for His glory, He'd have just called you home already. But if you are here and you are saved, then there is work for you to do, and that work is to be done for God's glory, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. And you might say, well, you don't know my situation, Patrick. You don't know how hard it is for me to just get up every day and go about life. You don't know the things that I'm struggling with. You don't know that I have these bills I can't pay. You don't know that my life is falling apart. My family's falling apart. All this is crumbling around me. You don't know what I'm going through. Your obedience is glorifying to God and is what you should do as His people, no matter the situation. You read this? In Revelation 7, 13 through 14, where did these people come from? Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. And he said, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Where did they come from? Out of the worst time of life. This is an interlude between the sixth seal that's been opened of God's wrath and the seventh seal. And where have these people come from? They have come out of the tribulation. Whether you believe that's what we're going through now or some great and horrific time to come, they come out of the worst part, the trouble of the world. They come out of that. And what have they done? They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And if God can save people out of that time, He can save them right now. And you can be a part of that No matter what situation you're going through. In fact, when you're going through the worst of things and you still say, praise be to God, that is a powerful testimony of how great He is and how much you love Him. It's the opposite sides, right? In America, we have so much, and so we must fight against making heaven here on earth, and God can be glorified through our plenty, but that makes it hard sometimes. But on the other side, when things are hard and everything's falling apart, it's hard on that side. But it doesn't matter how hard it is. It matters that God is worthy of that obedience, of us doing what He has called us to do in making disciples of all people in all places. Understand, if they are called out of this tribulation time, that in the worst of times, God will still accomplish His mission. Circumstance does not change the power of the gospel. He is always at work, and He wants you to be a part of it. He is choosing. It is privilege to be able to do this. It's privilege to share the gospel. It's privilege to live out your faith in the midst of all the hardship that goes on in the world. It is privilege to be called His people and to be sent on this mission. And whether you go yourself to the nations and preach the gospel, and God may be calling you to do that right here where you are. We got people going on short-term mission trips, but He might be calling you to say, hey, you just pack up all your stuff and you go and you take this mission to the nations. He calls people all the time to do that. Or He might just be saying, hey, I need you to pray for those people that are going. I need you to adopt a missionary that has chosen to do this, has been called by God and said, I'm going to be obedient. I need you to pray for them every day, because that prayer matters just as much as the going. Or maybe it's a financial sending that's how you get to be a part. God, I can't go. I know You've called me here, but I've got these funds and I can send those to those people that need it. It's what we do with Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong and our mission given as we give to missionaries in South Africa and in Portugal. It's what we give to the church plants. It's all us being a part. We can't be everywhere, but we can send our reach as far as it can through prayer and through finances and through going. This is the privilege that we have. We can't stop just when times are tough. And it is a blessing, a blessed privilege, that we get to see what God's doing in these other places. Like, we rejoice. Like, we got to see baptism today. We got to see all those kids come to sports camp. We get to see all this on the local level. But then God allows us in this blessed privilege to see what He's continuing to do in the world. And Miss Amanda is going to come and share what He is doing in her life and through her in South Africa. You'll give her your attention.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so, so much for having me back. I am so excited to see everybody. It's been 18 months since I've been here. Normally, I come in at Christmas. Those of you who've already read my prayer letter I sent out this week, you will have known or noticed that I did not have a laptop for most of this year. So I apologize for the lack of updates that have been coming out. I didn't have a way to send them to you. But I got a laptop this week, so I sent out a prayer letter, and so I went on to make a presentation for you. The second part of my apology. I put new pictures from this year into an old slideshow that I'd shown y'all a few years ago, because I didn't have time to do a whole new one, which means that there's a little bit of discombobulation in it, because I didn't make it brand new to put it in the order of what I want to tell you, so it's going to be a little bit scattered. But if you wouldn't mind starting. Yes, it is Rebeke, is the name of the place where we are in South Africa, which is way down at the bottom of the continent of Africa. If we could go to the next one, pretty please. So this is my class this year. So Also, the other part of my apology is that I put in this year's pictures, but I'm telling you about 18 months worth of stuff. So I have stuff from last year to tell you about that I don't have the pictures in this presentation for you. So sorry. So this is this year's class, which is first and second grade. And we have switched to Abeka. Thank you to everyone who helped make that possible, because that's why I didn't come back in at Christmas this past year, was because I was staying in South Africa to completely overhaul my classroom, because ACE is set up where the students are in their own little offices, and you're more of a tutoring situation where you go and talk to each child one-on-one, whereas Abeka has the students facing the teacher and you're giving a lesson. So for that, it's a completely different classroom setting. So changed all that. So I've got 16 kids in my class this year. First and second grade, and it has been such a blessing to see the improvement in not just the academic knowledge, because with ACE, it kind of assumes that you already have reading skills, whereas with Abeka, it gives a very strong phonics part of it, which is one of the goals of our school, is to give the kids literacy skills so that they can study for themselves and study to show themselves approved unto God and share the knowledge that they learn from the Bible with those around them. And so we've seen huge jump this year in those skills, but also in biblical skills, because Abeka has a very review-driven type of curriculum, and it is a biblical curriculum that reiterates biblical truths on a daily basis, and it spreads it throughout all their different subjects. So we will have a Bible lesson, and then we'll talk about it in phonics lesson when we're learning about parts of speech. It'll bring back parts of the things that we learned in Bible class there. If we can go to the next slide, please. So we still do the things in the Pele. So if you see in that middle picture there, with me. So last time I was here, I had just given her back to her hopefully adoptive parents after having her for 6 months. And that was a huge, huge blessing to be able to foster her. But then in April of last year, her adoptive father got kidnapped and was held for several days. And so when he got released, there were lots of things going on where the different law enforcement agencies told him that it would not be wise to stay in the country for right now while they were trying to disband the kidnapping ring. It had gotten very bad for a while last year, where we were having a new kidnapping every few days, like 2 to 3 a week. And then they were being held for ransom and then released. And so they had told him that because he did not pay the ransom, it would be dangerous for him to remain in the country until that had been taken care of. So he and his family had to leave, but Indi Pile was not officially adopted and still is not at this point officially adopted, which meant she could not leave the country with them. So she came back to me, and she stayed with me from April until Christmas. And that was also a huge blessing to be able to witness her growth and to be able to pour scriptural truths into her and see her grow. And she's now 3 years old, and she's been back with them since Christmas time, this Christmas. So this last 6 months, she's been with them. And that has been a blessing to see how she has just grown and developed. And we're praying that she will get saved one day. But she has already got a heart for God. Her favorite songs to sing are things like Hallelujah, which is actually my living hope. I Am Not My Own, which she calls I Belong to the Lord, because that's what the chorus says. So this is a little
crap. Up, step by step, just then Grandpa spoke, I need Ben and Will.
was a Folowewu, who is a little girl in my class who at the beginning of this year, for those of you who weren't able to read everything, because I know it was kind of probably small print for those of you in the back, she only knew one letter in January, and she didn't even know that its name was F. She called it her letter, and she's like, that's my letter. It says for Fola. And so that is 6 months later, she is now able to read. It's not fluent, but she was sounding out all the words, most of them by herself with very little help. And so that is what your donations have done by allowing us to switch to Abeka, is to allow that to be the reality for her and for the other girls and boys in my class. So I want to thank you for helping that be a possibility. So these are just little snippets of what's happening. We have classes, we've got a children's choir going on, and I know this year, which, So within the last 18 months, the children who've chosen to follow the Lord, who were part of my personal part of the ministry, or 9 different children have chosen the Lord as their Savior. And that goes to your account. So thank you very much for allowing me to be in South Africa and serving, because that's what it's truly about. It's bettering their lives, but also leading them to Christ so that He can affect the change to make them who He wants them to be. And so 9 little children have gotten saved in the last 18 months from both my Sunday school class and my classroom class, school class. And so we are continuing to do discipleship and things to help them grow in the Lord. If we can go to the next one, please. We switched over. So if you see in this picture over here, this is what my the end of last year's class was. I had first through third grade last year with ACE. And so when we switched over, Miss Isivile, who used to be Miss Annalisa, fun fact about Xhosa tradition is that when a lady gets married, her husband's family chooses her a new first name. So not only does her last name change, but her first name changes. And so last year, Miss Annalisa was my assistant teacher, and I was training her in the different things. And so this year, she teaches third and fourth grade. Her name is now Isivile because she got married in December last year, which I got blessed to be one of her bridesmaids in her wedding, which was super fun because, fun fact, they also dance down the aisle when you walk in. If you're an attendant, you have to learn a dance and you have to do all the steps going in. So that was pretty cool to be a part of that. She now has the third and fourth grade class, still with ACE at the moment, though next year we're hoping to change that to Abeka as well. If you want to go to the next one, please. And so in the funny hats, that's Miss Isivile. And then there is at her wedding. So that's Mama Melissa. So if you remember when I first went to South Africa, Soweto Baptist Church was the first church that I had started helping with. And she is the pastor's wife there. And they are still going strong, still fully Xhosa. But they do need prayer because gang activity has gotten very intense in Soweto. And so this little girl in the purple dress beside me there, her name is Siazinga, and or Sia is her shortened name. And she had to be moved to camp because she lives in Soweto, but the gang activity had gotten so intense and her uncle was involved in the gangs that it was no longer safe for her and her brother Lupao to live with their grandmother anymore. So they got moved to our youth home in at Camp Rhino. And so they've been there for, I think, 15 months now. And so because of a safety issue. So please pray for Soweto and for all the children and believers there, because it has gotten to be quite dangerous there. Well, we can go to the next one. So we had our VBS. We have a outreach to a children's ministry called SOS, which is for children who are not orphans because they still have family, but their family situations are not safe. And so up here we had a holiday Bible club with them to give them the gospel and to share Christ's love with them. And so there's about, I think, 98 children who live on the campus of SOS, and we are able to do an outreach there every month. And then some of the mamas, because the way it's set up is they have like little houses where a mother lives with about 10 children. And so some of the mothers who come to our church bring their kiddos with them. And so they're part of our Sunday school. They're part of our children's church. But we also go there because not all of the mamas are saved and not all of them want to attend church. And so then those children don't have the opportunity to come. So we would go to them at least once a month. We can go to the next. We have had a few camps already. So we had summer camp last Christmas, and we've had, they're actually having winter camp right now while I'm here, which it breaks your brain a little bit when I think about it. It's like, okay, I knew I was coming to summer, but when I stepped off the plane and summer hit me in the face, I realized, oh yeah, it's summer here. but they're having winter camp there, and we just had we called school camp. So we took all of the school kids to camp so that way they would have opportunity to play games and have an overnight and have we did devotions with them and we had the pastors come and teach. And so that's a big opportunity for the kids to get out of their normal life to hear that life can be different, that Jesus loves you and he provides a way that you can have peace. There doesn't always have to be fighting. There doesn't always have to be anger or hatred. There can be joy in your life. And so that is why camp is an important part of our ministry, because it helps the kids realize that life can be different. Next one. This is Newton Park is the church that I've been with this year and most of last year. Ever since Soweto got to be too dangerous, Mfundisi wouldn't let me go back anymore for my safety. So I've been jumped in both feet into Newton Park, which is on the school campus. And we've had we had a missions conference this year. It was our first time to have missionaries in. And so they've now gotten, our church has been gotten large enough that we are now able to support two missionaries, which that's pretty cool. And we've had several salvations and baptisms this year, and we got to spend Easter at the beach. We had a sunrise service at the ocean this year, which was really neat. And so that's growing. We have probably, I think, 60 people who come on a regular basis. We don't have actual membership yet because we're not chartered, which I'm not entirely certain how all that works because I'm not the church planner. I'm the helps missionary, so I don't have to know how that works. But we don't have members, but we have people who come consistently, and there's about 60 people who come consistently for our church in Newton Park. And these are
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all.
Father, who made us everyone. Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9.
And so I just want to thank you so much for making a difference in the lives of these children by allowing me to serve in South Africa. Thank you for your part in God's ministry.
Very difficult circumstance over the last 18 months. Kidnapping, gang violence, and yet out of that, 9 salvations, 9 added to that multitude that no one can number. That is what God does, and that's what God can do through you. If you have open hands with your time, talent, treasures, and influence, He can use you in that same way. And so I pray that today you're asking yourself, God, how can I be used this way? Is it through my prayer life? Is it through giving and sending someone? Or is it through going myself? And that may just mean to where you live, work, play, and learn, that you go and you share Jesus there. God will have that multitude. He will save because salvation belongs to Him. But I pray that you desire to be a part of that. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, I pray that through the gospel of Jesus, you might come to know Him, that you will, as the children just said, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be a part of that multitude, that you will serve the Lord for all eternity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for each one here today. I just pray that as we have been united through Christ, as we have been able to see a demonstration of your power, as these little kids are learning, but they're learning about Jesus, I just pray, God, that that would impact our hearts, make us desire to do so much more than merely exist, so much more than just say, oh, this is my Jesus and this is all about me, but it would make us say, God, here I am, send me, just as Isaiah said. God, I pray for the one that may need salvation here today. May you move as only you can in their hearts, God, to show them and give them boldness to step forward and say, I've put my faith in Jesus. For the ones that need to repent in order to be used today, God, will you draw them to repentance, knowing that, God, if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God, thank you for Amanda. Bless her and keep her. I pray, God, that you will use her mightily. It's in Jesus' name I pray.